morning, church.
Good morning.
The second scripture lesson will be coming from John the Apostle, from chapter 4, to reading from verse 1 to 29. This you will find in your Pew Bible, on the Cokesbury Bible on page 94, and the Donovan Bible on page 864. The context of the passage is Jesus met with the Samaritan lady. Jesus was on a trip from Judea to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. Listen for the word of God. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact he was not Jesus who was doing the baptizing, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near to the point of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired as he was journeying from Judea to Galilee. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples are going into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the water and drank from it himself, as did also his son and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whosoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I don't have to get thirsty and have to keep on coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, You said right when you said you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now live having is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we were to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." The Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worship the Father had worship. For they are the kind the Father and Yet the time has come, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipper must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah cometh, Jesus Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. The disciples returned to where then the disciples returned were surprised to find Jesus talking to the woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking to her? Then leaving a water jar, she ran back to the village and said back to the people, come see a man who told me everything I knew. Will this be the Christ? This is the end of the second lesson. Thanks be to God. First of all, I want to say thanks to everyone for giving me the opportunity this morning to deliver the message. My first question is, how do you give away your faith? Or how do you tell someone about Jesus Christ? Someone who don't know about Jesus but want to know, a stranger. For instance, if you travel in public transportation, bus or train or something like that, and you reading the Bible and someone asks you, what are you reading? And you have to tell them, well, I'm reading the Bible about Jesus Christ. How do you get started? How do you go about doing that? Or you might be sitting in a doctor's office or somewhere, someone next to you ask you, starting a question about the Bible. So it depends the kind of question the stranger might ask you. And from then on, you started going on and on and on. How long the conversation might take, we don't really know. You don't really know, but if the questions are important, and you might have a chance to tell that people about Jesus Christ, about that person about Jesus Christ. As we say, God can meet the most unlikely person, the most unlikely place, the most unlikely time to deliver his message. God is calling you to deliver his message. You don't have to be preaching in the pulpit, but you can meet a friend outside and talk to them about Jesus Christ. So was the case of Jesus when he left Judea to go to Galilee. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Samaria was considered as a coastal territory during that time. The Jews and the Samaritan people don't get along. And it's an old animosity because the Syrians at one time settled their people there in Samaria, and by doing so, there was some sort of intermarriage. And so the Jews look at them as morally inferior, they're not pure Jews. So they try to avoid Samaria as best as possible. So to travel from Judea to Galilee, he had to go through Samaria, which was a coastal territory. Most of them will take a roundabout route, which is probably twice as long as to get to Galilee from Judea, rather than go through Samaria, which they don't like to do. But Jesus knew, or had a purpose for going through Samaria. He knew there was a heart there that needed to be saved. Or he knew that people in that region need to be saved. So Jesus, by with his divine nature, as we say, Jesus is divine, is God, as well as man. So he went through Samaria, not because of geographical reason, but to meet this lady, to save her and the rest of the community. But as man, Jesus became weary. We all get tired after walking long distance. We get thirsty too. So Jesus went, as he was going, he went to the well, he saw a well, and he sat at the well for rest. It's new by nature too. Because after a long distance, sometimes we sit, we need rest. So Jesus sat at the well, and as he was sitting there, the lady from Samaria, from the village, Sychar, came to draw water. It was middle of the day, and the temperature is hot. But we see the lady choose this particular time to go draw water because of her personal situation or condition. She was begging so many times, and she knew that the other women must probably be talking about her. So she took that particular time to go to the well and draw water during the day, which the other women would dare to do. So as the Samaritan lady went there, she encountered Jesus Christ, and Jesus made a contact point. At times, if you meet a stranger somewhere, they might want to make a contact point with you. They might want to ask you, how are you doing today? Or how is the weather? And from that point, maybe you two start a conversation on and on. So Jesus established a contact point and asked for a drink of water. So it was strange for the lady, because Jesus was a Jew and the lady was a Samaritan. And in those days, they never had any contact. So the lady asked Jesus, why is it that you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan lady, for water? Then Jesus told her, if you know who is about to give you this water, and if you know about the water that I am going to give you, you won't ask this question. Because the water Jesus was going to give her was everlasting water, the water that will last her in the lifetime. Not only on this earth, but also in heaven. It's salvation, in other words. That's what Jesus was trying to tell the lady. But she couldn't understand. She was always thinking about physical water. And she said, sir, you don't have nothing to draw the water with. So how are you going to get this water? Remember, Jesus was working with his disciples. And they always carried a bucket, you know, in case they have to draw water somewhere. But the disciples went to the village to get food. And so they took the bucket with them. And I just feel that God was working in the divine purpose. Because he got rid of the disciples, they went to the village to get food. So Jesus had a time to sit down and talk with this woman, one-on-one contact, without any distraction. So the conversation went on, why are you going to get the water? You don't have the bucket to draw the water with. But Jesus, he was thinking about spiritual water. And he told her, the water that I'm going to give you will make you thirsty anymore. And so the lady finally decided, well, give me this water so I don't have to keep on coming here or keep on getting thirsty again. So at that point, she was asking for salvation because the living water that Jesus was going to give her would save her life. It's not only to quench her thirst in this earth, but also in the world to come, heaven. And at this point, the lady realized that she said, well, give me the water, because she didn't want to come back there and get in contact with the other ladies from the village. That's number one. And number two, it's a burden for her to be coming there during the that hour of the day to draw water so the other people would see her. So she said, well, give me the water. But then Jesus turned the conversation now to her personal life. Most of you probably would like for somebody ask going into your personal life, but sometimes you would tell them half to, sometimes you wouldn't tell them at all. Or you might say, well, I just won't tell, I won't say. But Jesus asked her, go get your husband. And the lady said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you said right. Because the body you're living with now is not your husband. And the lady at that point started to picture Jesus differently. Because first she was thinking that Jesus was just an ordinary Jew, another human being. But when Jesus started telling her about a personal life, then she started to realize, well, this must be a prophet. Jesus must be a prophet. So it's a step-by-step, progressive system, you know, moving from one conversation to another. Likewise, if you meet someone somewhere, like I said, in the doctor's office or somewhere, someone want to talk to you, maybe anything, the people might ask you about the weather. How you like the weather today? Or which football team is playing today? Or which basketball playing tonight? You know, and then from there on, the conversation will keep on going. And you never can tell where it will end. Amen. I have a personal story myself because, well, last year sometime I went to the farmer's market to get some greens. But I think just a day or two before, there was a storm, so the farmer didn't come. I couldn't find what I wanted. So I said, well, I'm going to stop at every grocery store on my way home because I have so many different stores. So I went to Food Lion, and luckily I found some colored greens. I was picking up the greens, and the lady walked up to me and said, thank God, you found some colored greens. I needed some. And from that point, I stood there with that lady for about 15, 20 minutes talking about God. Because she asked me, what church are you going to? I said to myself, how do you know I go to church? How do you know I go to church? So we went on, I told her which church I attend. She asked me, are you a pastor? I said, no. So then she told me what church she's going to. And we talked about the Bible for a few minutes. And as I said, so on my way home, I started thinking to myself, you know what? God can meet you at any place, at any time, you know, to reveal himself. That lady was a church lady. I'm not saying she don't know about God, because the way we were talking, I knew she was going to church. But I just had a feeling that maybe God sent her so we can converse that morning. So she left, I went my way. But anyway, that's the same thing with Jesus and this lady. When Jesus asked her, the lady told her, she'll be married before. No, she's staying with someone. But Jesus said, yes, I know. You're telling the truth. But even the one you're staying with now is not your husband. Actually, what Jesus was doing, like the Bible said, before you get salvation, or before salvation comes to you, you have to confess your sin. We do it every Sunday. We have the prayer of confession. We do it here every Sunday. We need to confess our sin and come clean with Jesus Christ or with God before we can receive salvation. So, as the conversation went on, she realized that Jesus might be a prophet, not just an ordinary Jew. Then the conversation went on to worship. So it's the step-by-step process. The conversation went on to worship. So the lady asked Jesus, I heard that you Jews worship in Jerusalem, but we Samaritans worship here at this mountain, which was Gerizim. This is where we worship. And Jesus again turned around and said, the time will come that you don't have to worship at the mountain or in Jerusalem. Because Jesus is here, we can worship God in faith. We don't have to go somewhere else and worship. But even at that, Jesus rebuked her and the Jews too. Because the Jews at the time were performing a lot of ceremonies during the worship hours, which in turn was necessary. Jesus was saying, since I'm here, all you need to do is to believe in me, have faith in me. And likewise, we should have faith in Jesus Christ when we talk about worshiping. Well, I say, if you see Jesus, you've seen God. If you know Jesus, you know God. Six times in John, Jesus said the word, I am, which means, like, he's equated himself with God. That was the same word God used when he first met Moses. When Moses asked God, who am I going to tell the people you are? And Jesus, and God said, tell them I am. And Jesus said to the woman, just like he said to John, I am the gatekeeper. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one sees the Father but through me. If we want to get to God, we have to go through Christ. There's no other way. For if you see God, if you see Jesus, excuse me, if you see Jesus, you've seen God. If you know Jesus, you know God. So God, Jesus was gradually telling the lady that he is the Messiah. He himself is God. So if you want to worship God, you need to worship God, you need to know him. You need to worship God in spirit and in truth, which means down from your soul. You know, worship God down from your soul, all your heart, give God all your heart and everything. That's how we worship God. It's not by ceremonies or sacrifices. We should believe in Jesus Christ. We should worship God in spirit, because God is a spirit. God is everywhere. Now that Jesus is here, he's everywhere. We don't have to meet him somewhere. We don't have to go to Jerusalem and worship. We don't have to go to the mountain and worship God. We can worship God everywhere. And his spirit will meet our spirit. His spirit will talk to our spirit. So at that point, the lady began to realize that Jesus was not only a human, he was not only a prophet, but also the Messiah. And she asked Jesus, a part of the Messiah is coming, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus made himself known to her that I am the Messiah. And she ran straight away to the village and told the other people about Jesus. So here we see how Jesus was progressing little by little just to bring that Samaritan woman under the banner of salvation. He just didn't jump up and say, well, I'm Jesus Christ, you believe in me. But he took her step by step. So if we meet someone that we want to evangelize or want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, we too should use Jesus Christ's example to walk with them side by side and explain who Christ is. And now we say that she decided that Jesus must be a prophet at one time and took the opportunity to consult Jesus about an old age issue that was hotly debated between the Jews and the Samaritans. Just like I said, she wanted to know more about God, but she wanted to know more about the Messiah, which was Jesus. Jesus was standing right in front. The Messiah was standing right in front of her. But then, when Jesus told her, well, I am he, I am the Messiah, she ran straight away to the village and told the rest of the people. And the whole village came to see Jesus for themselves. They just didn't take a word for it, because they know probably they would have questioned the lady because of her social history or social character. But they went to see Jesus for himself. So we have the opportunity too. What we learn about Jesus or we hear about Jesus, we can go out there too and tell others about Jesus. So we can say we can worship. Worship means believers will enter the presence of God with faith and thereby worship him. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. The Jews have turned worship into ceremonial acts, and the Samaritans worship God somewhere else, you know, in the mountains or wherever. But that's not true worship. That's not what Christ was trying to tell them. You see that true worship focuses on the Father, which is God, and worship in the Spirit. That is when our own soul and in truth, with our own soul and in truth. That is with sincerity and not formality. The way we want to worship God, we should give God our whole self, give God all our heart and worship, not by formality, not by performing ceremonies or miracles, just have faith and worship God in truth. We say that God is not a person that is located in one place. He's everywhere. So we can worship God anywhere. You can worship God in your office, pray to God. You can worship God in your bedroom or in your living room or wherever. You can pray, call the name of the Lord on your way when you're going to work in the morning. Wherever. God is the Spirit. His presence is there with you when you call upon Him. Now let me finish. You see, that Samaritan woman was an outsider. Not only her, but a whole community. They were worshiping God in a different form. She didn't know about Jesus Christ. And likewise, the community didn't know about Jesus Christ. But Jesus offered himself to her, and she was able to bring the rest of the people to Jesus and talk to Jesus himself. We see Jesus met her at the well, and Jesus evangelized her at the well. And sincerely, if we also have the same obligation, we also have the same obligation if we are to bring others to Jesus. If we are not in their location, how can we meet them? Only by walking with them and alongside them can we find the opportunity to fulfill our mission of reaching others and invite them into the community. I'm from a different country. I'm from Sierra Leone, by the way. But I've seen a lot of missionaries. They go to the most remote places in the country where there's no light, no running water, anything. But they take the message to those people. And where I grew up, that was the same thing. We have no electricity. We have no running water. But we have missionaries who go to church, who officiate services every now and again. They come from the city, they go to the village, and they evangelize us. And that's not all. My grandmother used to make me go to church every Sunday, whether I like it or not. You know. So that's the way. And I know most of you went through the same thing too. You just didn't grow up knowing about Jesus Christ. Someone told you about Jesus Christ. You went to school, Sunday school, maybe you went to church, and someone told you about Jesus Christ. We didn't born knowing about Jesus Christ. No, someone brought Jesus Christ to us. So likewise, that's the purpose of evangelizing, or missionaries, as we call them. They go to the villages or whatever in the towns, they conduct services and preach the word. So that's the same thing for this lady too, or for us too. What we know about Jesus Christ, it's not for us to just keep it to ourselves, but you can talk to others what God has done for you, or what He's doing for you, or what He will do for you. Let others know. It's not a secret. It's not something that you have to hide. You know. So when you let others know about Jesus, you're bringing them also into the community of Christ. You know, you bring them to the church, you invite them sometime, you know, they come. So that's the purpose of this passage. You know, we try to let others know what God has done for us and what He's doing for us. We just don't keep it to ourselves. Yes, now we can see Christ breaks barriers that separate us from God and others, and transform us into the holy temple, God's dwelling place. And through Jesus Christ, He can change our hearts. When we meet Jesus, a male, a man, a woman, when you meet Jesus, He changes to a different person. You see, the Bible says, if you have Christ in you and you in Christ, you are a different human being. People probably realize, you know, you talk differently. You act differently. You know, so when you, this is the purpose, when you have Christ in you, you are a different human being. Okay. Jesus calling us to be people who can reach others as children of the living God. Jesus wants us to have salvation. He wants us to be saved. So he's constantly calling us. Despite your creed, despite your race, or despite your religion or whatever, you know, Jesus wants us to come under the banner of salvation. He's calling us. You know, salvation is for everyone. If you are willing, if you meet Jesus halfway, he's going to meet you halfway. He's going to change your heart. He's going to change your mind. He's going to give you what you need, which is salvation, the living water. And he calls us to be Christ-like in treating each other with dignity and respect. That is life in us inspired. We see how Jesus was talking to the lady. He didn't criticize her, or he didn't chastise her, but Jesus was respectful to her, and she too was respectful to Jesus. And if we can spend as much time as the lady spent talking to Jesus, we can be evangelists too. We can bring others to Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus wants us to do, to bring others into the kingdom of God. I have a quote here by Indian pastor, Pastor Singh, which said, "The capital of the human heart is one in which Jesus Christ enthroned. If you have a good heart, if you have a righteous heart, Christ is welcome. He wants to be with you. He wants to be in you. He keeps on walking with you to change your ways, to change your habits. You know, your focus will be on Jesus Christ, and that's what he wants. We put God first. And when we do all these things that Christ is teaching us to do, we can be first with him. We can be everything that he wants us to do. He can meet our needs. He can meet our wants. We can serve him each and every day. But we have to give total commitment to him. Serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I say it's the greatest thing to commit yourself to Jesus. And it's the greatest thing to tell others about Jesus. But when you commit yourself to Jesus Christ and you see what Jesus is doing for you, it will be a pleasure for you to tell someone else, to talk to somebody about Jesus. Because Jesus is constantly inviting us, as we say, to bring us under the banner of salvation. He's calling us to come under the banner of salvation. He wants us to receive the living water, just like the lady received the living water. The water that will let you thirst. The water that will serve you in this world. And the water that will serve you when you get to heaven. And this is the message for this morning. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Jerry, for that word you have given us this morning as we continue to go forth and tell others about who Jesus is. And now the doors of the church are open as we stand and sing our invitational hymn, number 370, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." Maybe there are some of you who want to give your life to Christ for the very first time. Maybe there are some of you who want to join us here, or maybe you are looking for living water within your life to hear a word from God that will continue to sustain you this day and forevermore. If you are one of those persons, we ask that you may stand and come forth as we all stand and sing our invitational hymn.